97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, the key is to never run to a microphone. So I'm in there getting ready this morning like Philip Rivers. You know what I'm saying? Only sports fans will get that reference there. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You have no idea?
No.
Okay, welcome. First of all, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. That's Kim. I'm Mark. Ethan sitting in here. And Sue Thomas will be along with your traffic in just a couple of minutes. So in the NFL, there is a shortage of decent quarterbacks. I don't know if you knew this or not. And apparently the Indianapolis Colts had a pretty good one who got injured, right? And they were looking for somebody to replace him. And they went out and they hired a guy that has not thrown a pass in the NFL in 5 years. His name is Philip Rivers. He's got like 12 kids. I don't know how many kids he's got. He's got a lot. He didn't have 12, but he's got a lot. And everybody's making fun of him. They're making fun of his weight. They're making fun of all of this stuff. But he's one of the most prolific passers in NFL history. Like, he was in the league for 14 years and was a tremendous quarterback. But there's such a drop-off in talent at quarterback that they had to go find a guy that hasn't thrown a pass since like 2020 or 2021. So you always want to be ready. I'm coming to hoping that one of these days, right? You find yourself retired or whatever, and somebody calls you out of retirement because they got to have your skill set. Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be great to be wanted that much? I wonder how much money he's going to make. That's my question. And my other question was, did it cross anybody's mind why they didn't just run out and hire Colin Kaepernick? Because Colin Kaepernick's every year before the NFL season starts, Colin Kaepernick's agent contacts every team in the NFL to let them know that Colin has been working out and he is
ready to go.
He's ready to go. He's ready to step, put me in, coach. Because they seem to think that he won't get hired. The excuse is always the same one that Kamala Harris gives. She didn't get elected because she's a black female and America's not ready for that. And the NFL won't let him play because he's an outspoken black man. As if they don't have plenty of outspoken black men in the NFL. It's the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard. What NFL owners care about is green. That's the only color they care about. And if you can help them win, get into the playoffs, potentially make it to the Super Bowl, they'll pay anybody to play that position. The problem is, it's the most complicated position in sports, I would argue, quarterback in the NFL.
Well,
not just anybody can do it, as evidenced by the fact that the Colts have had to go hire a guy who was out of the game for 5 years and bring him back in to play this weekend because they need that skill set, and not everybody, including Colin Kaepernick, has it.
Well, sure, maybe it's Colin Kaepernick's skills or lack thereof, but if you're going to be outspoken and you're going to kneel during the national anthem and make fans not want to go to the game out of protest because of you, a team has every right to say,
well,
I don't want to deal with that. And they probably would, because that is going to cost them money.
They do. I mean, they were he marginalized his opportunity in the NFL by doing that. And he was on the margins of being good enough to be there in the first place, even though he had a little bit of success with San Francisco briefly. I don't want to rehash the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. Bottom line is, the reason he's not in the league anymore has nothing to do with his politics. That might have caused him to get fired from his job.
I think it does. I think it's both.
I don't know. I think it might have had something to do with him getting fired from his job because people didn't want to put up with it. But in terms of him trying to get back, he claims they've, coordinated against him in the NFL. What I'm telling you is, if you were as good as Philip Rivers, who's been retired 5 years, they would have called you. But they didn't. They didn't call you, did they? That's basically how that went this week. So the memes have been fabulous about that, but I don't have time to get into all of those. If you've seen them, you've seen them, and you'll know what I'm talking about. So. Welcome in. It's a Thursday morning. We're glad you're with us. The 11th day of December as we move right along here. I know Kim and I mentioned earlier, we have the, Ethan, are you going tonight? Come on.
To be determined.
Oh, okay. All right. We have a little holiday get-together. They had the big one at Fox last night with apparently, what did Pyro say, people on stilts?
I noticed it was a picture of women dressed kind of like a snowflake, I think, and they were on stilts.
Wait a minute. They had snowflakes at Fox News? Are you telling me the truth here?
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's what the picture looked like. Yeah.
I was not expecting that, for sure. We will not have anything like that. We're gathering at a location not to be disclosed this evening for a little get together, employee only get together. Which surprisingly, I understand that's how the Fox thing was going as well.
Maybe that's just
they didn't invite spouses.
Well, that's maybe the direction companies are moving. I'm not an advocate of
just
that.
To save money.
See, here's my thing. I can understand that some companies might give you, hey, you get 2 drink tickets as a way to incentivize people to go.
Right.
Okay, fine. Then give the staffer the drink ticket or the 2 drink tickets and let them decide, okay, do I want to give one to my spouse or make the spouse pay for drinks? It's just,
to me,
when you limit that, it limits the number of people who are going to want to go, especially when you have it at a bar. And like I have 2 young children and my husband is running around doing stuff. So I'm watching the kids usually when I'm off work.
You can use the drink tickets for sippy cups. It's okay. Just
here's your water, Easton.
Just bring them. Yeah, I don't know. I bet that's have been frustrating. Channel 4 years ago had some epic Christmas parties where they would let you did bring your spouse and they rented out the main hall at Union Station and back
that.
In the glory days of TV. And then suddenly one day we changed companies and the budget hawks looked at it and said, you spend how much money on a Christmas party? And that was the end of that. And then we got $50 gift certificates to Schnucks.
What a change. See, I was at Channel 4 during COVID. I started in April of 2019, so I had 1 year before everything shut down, and I don't remember them doing squat. $50 to Schnucks, actually, Mark, sounds pretty nice.
I'm just saying.
That's probably
better
than what I got.
It was either $25 or $50.
I probably got like a mouse. Or like, you know how they give you like a mouse pad, as if anyone's really jazzed about a mouse pad. Like, wow, cool, a mouse pad with the company logo on it. Can't wait to use it.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to do the math here. 36 years in the broadcasting business now, roughly. And I received a year-end Christmas bonus one time in all of those years. Media companies are notoriously cheap. And one time, right near the beginning of my career, they gave me one half of a week's pay as a bonus to everybody who was working there as a Christmas bonus. And, of course, you felt rich then back 30 years ago when you got half of what you were making for a week as a Christmas bonus. But that's the only time
that.
That's ever happened.
Well, see,
ever.
And now bonuses are not just given out, I think, for companies. A lot of it's merit-based. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing per se. I can understand why you want to make it where people want to work hard so that they do get the bonus.
Yeah,
but that just automatic bonus is not as common these days, it seems.
Not a thing, for sure. All right, Ethan, let's get to our top stories real quick here, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
In support of our goals, in light of the balance of risks to employment and inflation, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to lower our policy interest rate by a quarter percentage point.
Well, thank you, Jerry Powell. A little too little, too late, and now promising maybe only one cut for all of next year. I can't wait till this guy's term is up. What is it? March, April, something next year, and Trump can replace him. Wow.
I'm going to be honest. I don't feel good about being white every day for a lot of reasons, because it's a point of privilege that I get to move through the world in a way that so many of my other colleagues and friends and family members and of the community don't get the privilege to do.
Oh my gosh, I'm with Richie. I checked my bank account and that white privilege deposit hadn't been made yet. It's the strangest thing. That's some weak-kneed and weak-brained liberal out of the state of Kentucky yesterday. We'll talk more about it later.
We got to stop looking at him as some kind of political Svengali or political Houdini or anything like that. He's done. We just got to butter this toast and slice it and eat it.
The Raging Cajun, James Carville. trying to convince himself and other liberals that somehow they're just on the verge of defeating Donald Trump. How many people left in the dust have thought that? Wow.
Well, you know, we've had sanctions on Venezuelan oil for since the first Trump administration.
And, Biden kept them.
Yeah. So to me, this is absolutely normal. I mean,
seizing an oil tanker?
Yeah.
That was CNN last night. That was not what Jake Tapper wanted to hear out of somebody he titled his, let's see, what was her name? Her name was Beth Sanner, and he introduced her as their national security analyst, and they brought her in to blast Donald Trump out of the water for the fact that the military seized a tanker near Venezuela. And she's like, this is a nothing burger. These sanctions have been in place since the first Trump administration. Joe Biden continued them. There's nothing to see here. We've done this off the coast of like Libya or somewhere before. We've done this before plenty of times. This is completely normal and within the guidelines of the law. And Jake Tapper was speechless, if you can believe it. All right. Quick break. We'll be back here in just a minute. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. As the host of this program, since it carries my name, I'll take a little host privilege here this morning. Is that all right, Kim?
You're very privileged.
I am.
As a white man, you are.
I feel my white privilege flowing through my veins, and I feel not one ounce of guilt as a result of that, since I had absolutely nothing to do with it. So here you go. Just a little bit of hard work and elbow grease is what I'll credit that to. I'm gonna go back for just a moment and talk about Philip Rivers, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, who's been called out of retirement and signed to a contract, and will actually suit up again in the NFL this year. Now, he's not old by my standards. He's 44 years old, but he's been retired from the NFL for 5 years now. hasn't put a helmet on since like the year 2000. Here's a few things you need to know about this guy. I was close, Ethan, on the number of kids that he has. I just want
he's
you to
11,
look, listen to this. He is the father of 10 children and recently became a grandfather, making him one of the most uniquely experienced players to ever step back into an NFL locker room. Since retiring, he shifted seamlessly into coaching and has coached the St. Michael Catholic High School in Alabama to the Class 4A state semifinals. He's older than 12 current NFL head coaches. And they list them all here. His longevity is almost unmatched. His last NFL game was played January 9th, 2021, and it's been almost 1,800 days since he last threw a pass in the league. His new center, Tanner Bordellini, was 1 year and 10 months old when Rivers was drafted into the NFL. This is the guy that'll be playing center for him when he was drafted. He's currently a semifinalist for the 2026 Hall of Fame class because he has more passing yards than Dan Marino and a bunch of other people like that, right? But if he's elevated to the Colts active roster, like right now he's been hired and put on the training squad or whatever, if he's elevated, his name will be removed from the Hall of Fame and the clock will reset and he'll have to wait 5 more years to get in the NFL Hall of Fame if he gets activated by the Colts. The current Colts head coach was on the Chargers staff during Philip Rivers' time there, making it sort of a full circle moment. And if he ends up starting, he would be the third oldest starting quarterback in NFL history and the oldest quarterback to play this season. He would join Tom Brady, Vinny Testaverde, Steve DeBerg, and Warren Moon as only the fifth quarterback ever to start a game at age 44 or older. So
I'm just looking at the ages of his children. You said grandpa, so I'm like, okay, how old is his oldest? 23 years old. So that makes sense.
Who had a baby. Had a baby now.
But 23, 20, 19, 17, 15, 14, 12, 10, 6, 2. Bless him and his wife.
Yeah, they're blessed.
I mean, I love big families. That's awesome. I would assume so.
Okay. All
but my goodness, that his wife is a rock star.
Well, and you got to give him credit because he's taken that white privilege and he has put it in the bank, right? He's banked enough money that he could clearly afford to have 10 children. And now, you know, maybe things are getting a little tight and he decided he's going to throw his name back in the mix here and earn a couple more million to kind of pad that bank account a little bit because maybe you know, high school coaching doesn't pay that much.
Did you say that people were making fun of him for his weight?
He's put on a few pounds.
Really? Like, he doesn't look heavy to me at all.
Well, in the press conference where they were interviewing him over being brought back to the Colts, somebody asked him about his weight, and he made some flippant comment, and then he came back and said that he would comment on that. I mean, he just looks a little heavier than obviously his playing days.
Okay, I'm looking now, but yeah, like, well, I wasn't playing in the NFL and training every single day, so yeah, I put on a little bit of weight.
As long as he's kept himself in shape, you either have the ability to throw a football on a line to a receiver or you don't. And he's proven over 14 years that he has the ability to do that. I don't think he's going to have any trouble. At the speed of the game, he may take him a little while to catch up on the speed of the game. But other than that, I'm going to have to tune in and watch like I did with the Indiana-Ohio State game, even though, you know, I've been an Ohio State fan for a long time. I was happy for the Hoosiers. We'll talk to Tom Ackerman about all that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. I see Mr. Tom Ackerman coming into the studio even as we speak. How about that? I was talking just a minute ago about the Cardinals' winter warm-up. So let's go ahead and hit the open, please.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, Indiana plays Kentucky Saturday. You ready, big boy?
I am not. I don't even want to talk about it. We're having a rough start to the season, my friend.
I know you are. We just dropped.
Are you guys ranked?
We just dropped 113 points on Penn State. Just got bounced out of the top 25 by Louisville. Just knocked us out after Louisville beat us in Indy. Louisville's pretty good. I went to the game. They're legit. I mean, we're not at that level. But we got some shooters. So here's Indiana. I'll give you a scouting report. Indiana is a three-point shooting team. If those threes go down, you're in trouble. If they don't, we're not big enough to handle a physical team. So there you go. If you can hit the glass, get some boards, and defend the perimeter, you can control Indiana. If you don't control the three-pointers, it will come raining down on you. They absolutely destroyed Penn State. It was unbelievable. I mean, Lamar Wilkerson hit 10 threes in the game, an Indiana record. He was just bombs away. He only played 25 minutes, and he had 44 points. So that's the kind of team they are. That's what Darren DeVries has designed for now. So
well,
it should be fun.
Since you're bragging about point totals, Kentucky hung 103 on the school for the deaf and blind the other night. So maybe this will be a game. I mean, who knows? Everybody's got to pad their schedule.
UK fans are down on Pope, man. They are down on Kentucky. They want to run that guy out of there.
I don't. I still believe in the Pope.
He's one of their own. He's like,
he is.
He's their guy.
I still believe in the Pope. I just think, you know, we're in a weird situation in college sports where it's too much like pro sports. You don't have kids coming to schools for the right reason. They don't have any, in many cases, pride in their university beyond what their NIL check is. And we've stripped college basketball and football of what used to be so special about it. And that's what I hate. And I know you can't get that genie back in the bottle now, but I don't know how you fix that. They have no loyalty to whatever school they go to, because if a better offer comes around in the transfer portal, they're gone. And we went out and bought some good players, But they clearly are all in it for themselves, and I don't know how you fix that. So,
well, I saw an Indiana football team that bought a lot of players and had transfer portal players get up on the stage on Saturday night and ask the whole stadium to sing the fight song with them. And they knew every word, and they said, let's do this together. And the whole crowd was singing together. That tells me that you can do that. You can get players to buy in on your program. So it's not all one-sided. I think that you have to have the right coach and the right people in place to do it. Now, Indiana football's challenge will be, as they continue to progress, these are Kurt Cignetti's JMU players who followed him from James Madison. For the most part, he got a couple of transfers coming in. But as he starts to turn that over and gets highly talented players from around the country to come to Indiana, can he keep that going? Can he get them to buy in what he's trying to sell them?
He's already cemented his legendary status at Indiana. If he was to go on and win the national championship, I would not be surprised that we might have the first ever collegiate coach who's coaching football and basketball. They may just try to ask him to coach the basketball team too and work his magic over there.
He is something else. DeVries is pretty good, but yeah, that is good. But yeah, that'll be fun. So you asked me what's going on. I thought, you know, that probably you and I should talk about that because
we should.
The Indiana Kentucky, man, they haven't played in a while.
Woo!
I mean, this is going to be.
Where's that game, by the way?
At Rupp.
Okay. So this starts the home
Saturday night at Rupp Arena, the cream and crimson come running in there with their candy-striped warm-up pants. So it'll be interesting. I actually will be calling the SLU game, so I won't even be able to see it. I've got the SLU game on Saturday night. They're playing San Francisco at Chaffetz Arena, so I'll have that one on TV. So I'll have, you know, I might be following along on my phone or something, but I can't watch the game. I gotta call the Billikens.
You'll be calling the Billikens game, and you heard him say "crap," and you'll wonder why he meant that. And he's watching the Indiana game on his phone.
I have to ask your opinion about this name change for SIUE. That the basketball teams will go by the 66ers, but only for some games.
I'm not aware of that. What is this?
This is so dumb. So they're the Cougars, right?
They announced it yesterday.
Yeah.
They did? Oh, I should have followed.
That in honor of...
There was so much going on, like the Sharon Moore story. Was
oh, my
like,
God. The head football coach of Michigan is out because of an affair
Tell me about SAUE.
So they're temporarily changing the name from the Cougars to the 66ers out of some promotion for the anniversary of Route 66 or something just for the next year. And some teams will go by 66ers and wear the uniform for certain games and not others. And it just all sounded very confusing. And I'm thinking from a marketing perspective, why would you want to do this? But apparently it's just temporary for a year and it won't affect everything. And I guess they'll still be the Cougars when it's all over with.
Hey, so if you win, you know, whatever.
I said it's going to be most troublesome for the announcers. Like, if you just go in to do the announcing and you've been calling them the Cougars for all these years, and then suddenly
we'll have to
the
66ers. Ask our guy. You know our guys, the voice of SAUE.
There you go.
Joe Potts, the voice
Joe.
Of the Cougars.
I didn't know that. I see Joe occasionally
in
here. I should
he's
ask
the
him.
Voice of SAUE. He'll be in here tomorrow morning.
You
can pull him in here and grill him about
there
it.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, look, if you win, you whatever. Springfield
matter.
Cardinals. Call themselves every once in a while. They do this promotion because cashew chicken, are you aware of this, is a Chinese dish, is very well known and very popular in Springfield, Missouri. So every once in a while they wear uniforms that say the cashew chickens.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, it's real. Go look it up.
Okay.
It's
is there a cashew chicken mascot for that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No kidding.
But teams mess around with that. I don't know. But that seems like they're really following through. I don't know. It's a big marketing thing, but it didn't get to me, so I didn't see it.
How did that happen?
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Fox 2 reporting on it. So, hey, okay. By the way, I did hear a little bit of news out of that there's been some activity at the winter meetings for baseball. Not so much on the part of the Cardinals just yet.
Not yet, and I think that Heim Bloom's goal was to get everybody's opinion on his players. You know, you want to talk to every team about what they think. Could the Cardinals make a trade for Brendan Donovan today? Absolutely they could. They have about 20 teams interested in Brendan Donovan, without question. They could pull that trade off right now. But why would you do that if you can get a little bit more out of somebody? Wouldn't you keep squeezing the juice until you get the best players you can possibly get. So that's the game he's going to play, whether it's Donovan or other players. He's going to make sure he gets the absolute best. So you don't have to do that on December 10th or 11th. You can do it on December 20th or January. And I think that that's what they're going to do. They're going to trade players, get the best prospects, build this thing for the future. The biggest story yesterday from a Cardinals standpoint is that Joe Buck is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Saw that. Congratulations, Joe.
He received the Ford Frick Award. So that's going to be an amazing time in Cooperstown. We'll be all over that for sure as one of our own. We have five now, five Camo Xers, full-time Camo Xers into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Jack Buck, Harry Carey, Joe Garagiola, Bob Costas, and now Joe Buck, the first father-son combo to win the Frick Award. I've known Joe since I was, I don't know, 22, I guess. And he's been an incredible friend, and I'm so happy for him. Just incredibly happy for the family. And I know that his dad is smiling down on him, and it's just an awesome thing. So I'm psyched for Joe.
Yeah, congratulations for him. Hey, before you walked in last segment, I was talking about this Phil Rivers story.
44 quarterback of the Colts. Let's go, baby. I'm 6 years older than him. Let's go.
A father of 10, grandfather now, and might step back in after 4 years and add some more yards to his records.
If he can still sling it, you know, that's all you need. Protect the guy and let him go. That's awesome. I'm happy for him.
It'd be great. Like the Cardinals reaching back out to Chris Carpenter or somebody bringing him back, right?
Yeah. And somebody on Twitter, I think, said, oh, guys will do anything to get out of holiday holiday duties.
Well, how cool, though, that they're giving him that opportunity.
It's awesome.
I mean,
yeah.
I know.
Tough injury for the Colts. Daniel Jones injured his Achilles, so that's why this is happening.
That's awesome. Yeah. You got to run?
Yeah, I got to go do a sports guest.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'll tell you, Kim, that, I'm trying to remember what the event was. I was working at Channel 4, which must have been 20 years ago, and I go to an event, and Joe Buck was there. And I had never met him before. I'd met his dad. I'd interviewed Jack a few times, and talked to him about books he'd written, and I used to see him in the, you know, in the building there when we were at One Memorial Drive downtown, and I go up to Joe Buck and introduced myself because he's Joe Buck. Everybody knew who Joe Buck was. I went up and introduced myself, and he goes, "Oh, Mark, I know who you are. I watch you all the time." That was one of those aha moments for me, like, wow, Joe Buck knows who I am. That's really cool. And I'm so thrilled for him that he's going into the Hall of Fame. Well deserved.
That's cool.
What a talent. I mean, I remember when he first got into broadcasting, everybody said, well, he's just getting a job because of his dad. And, you know, any son of a legend like that faces that kind of challenge.
Oh, yeah.
There was a kid in Cincinnati. I grew up listening to Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall on the Reds broadcast. And there was and his son, Tom Brenneman, wanted to get into broadcasting, and I'd met Tom a few times. He worked in Cincinnati television, and everybody said, well, he's just getting the job because his dad is Marty Brenneman. Well, maybe. I mean, it helps to have connections. If your dad had connections, wouldn't you want him to help you?
Well, yeah, the connection helped, I'm sure.
But the talent.
You have to have talent to be sustained.
Yeah, I remember all that talk about Joe Buck all those years ago, and that people were just blind to what a natural he is, and well-deserved that he's going to join his dad in the Hall of Fame. Very, very, very happy. I'm glad Tom brought that up because I had that in my notes here and I just hadn't actually gotten to it yet. All right, coming up, we will get to end of the news. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Boy, I got to tell you, as a driver, one thing that really irks me is if somebody comes flying up behind me and whips around me at the last second, almost takes my bumper off. That's guaranteed to get you either some sort of arm signal or a toot on the horn, right? Imagine if what you looked in your rearview mirror and saw was a freaking airplane. Did you see this video out of Florida yesterday? Florida Freeway, a Beechcraft 55 was attempting to make an emergency landing. This was on I-95 near Merritt Island. So it's 5:45 in the evening. It's the evening rush. There weren't as many cars on the road as there could have been. The plane has engine trouble and can't make it to the airport. And suddenly somebody had a dash camera. And on the video, you see this airplane drop out of the sky and hit the perfect landing. The problem is he was going so fast that he ran into a car that was in front of him. There was a Toyota Camry that he couldn't slow down enough, and the car, you know, it's one of these, for all I know, somebody going slow in the middle lane, but they weren't going at highway speeds, and he runs into the back of the car. So the person in the car had a minor injury, apparently.
Which is nuts.
But
a minor injury after your car's hit by an airplane?
Yeah.
It could have been way worse.
But they survived. The lady in the Camry was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. If you haven't seen that video, look it up, because it is absolutely amazing that he got captured on video.
So that whole story is nuts, and you have to see the video if you've not yet seen it. So by now you've probably seen that Pam Anderson has become known for going makeup free. That's fair, but now she's known for going makeup free. She showed up at Paris Fashion Week in 2023.
Okay.
Without any makeup on, and she actually said, "I remember thinking nobody's even going to notice." And of course everybody noticed, but she says it's about peeling back the layers. She says she wants to make sure that people feel confident and who they are, and not to worry so much. So she's hoping to inspire other young women to do the same, to not feel like they have to put all this lip liner on and, you know, dark eye makeup.
That's nice.
I would go makeup free, but I look like a raccoon because I have such dark circles under my eyeballs that I would scare you guys.
I don't know what to make of it. I mean, good for her. I mean, it certainly relieves the stress of having to spend an hour in front of the mirror before you
an hour?
Go out.
Sue, how long does it take you to do your makeup?
Not an hour.
Don't you think Pamela Anderson, though, if like these Hollywood stars spend more than 15 minutes putting makeup on. I mean, honestly.
I'm sure
most of
some
them have,
do.
Well, most of them have
takes me 5 minutes.
Artists and all that. So I'm saying in the case of a Hollywood star, it probably takes them more than 15 minutes to put their makeup on.
Well, she was, though, excessive in the makeup department and just has gone to the opposite, which I think was kind of nice. I think she's gone through a bit of a renaissance.
Maybe. She also said the other day that she did indeed have a fling with Liam Neeson during the filming of the latest movie.
Liam.
Moment to make fun of that, Mark.
We got to flag that one.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just Liam. Yeah.
She admitted to having an affair with this guy.
For a week.
Then she said people made way too much out
she
of
said
it.
She said we're
so.
Just friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did, yeah, I don't know.
I would have loved
gave
Pam,
more details
Pam and
than
Liam.
She should have.
Maybe they got so far that that was her nickname for him.
It could have been.
Yes.
You guys just didn't know that. I had a little insider information.
That's right.
Kim's not going to ever let this go, just so you know.
I'm certain I'm going to experience this with my grandkids here at some point. But apparently, McDonald's has a winner. And not the McRib, Sue. But
that's no doubt.
But the Grinch meal. They have put a Grinch meal together in the little box like you would get a Happy Meal, and it's selling out faster than you can say roast beast. Everybody wants the green-themed
that's
feast,
funny.
Which apparently made its debut on December 2nd.
That's it. It's brilliant marketing. All you do is slap a picture of the Grinch
yes!
on your box, and you're like, it's a Grinch meal, and then
no,
all the
kids
want
it. Comes with some other
it.
Stuff.
Some Grinch salt.
Okay, it's
our
salt,
neighbors
but
over
it's
here
Grinch
got a
salt.
Couple. So.
Dill pickle seasoning.
So it's regular seasoning, and they call it. It's just stupid. Like, it's Grinch salt. No, it's salt. All right? I have a problem with this.
It's like, so what's better?
Yeah, no kidding.
I will not be getting a Grinch meal. Hey, really fast, the Golden Globes were revealed, the nominations, and of course, for Best Podcast, Joe Rogan was not part of that.
How can
that
be?
I know, but Call Her Daddy. Remember, that's a podcast Kamala Harris went on. Dax Shepard's podcast. Like all these other random podcasts were nominated. Not Joe Rogan, even though his is the most popular podcast on all major platforms.
There has to be something more to that. To that one, they're mad at him because he had Elon Musk on or something, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, who knows? Politics at play there.
He endorsed Trump. That's the problem.
Yeah, true. By the way, Sue, a happy anniversary. We didn't get to say that to you on Friday.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice.
Glad you had a good week.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent and get his take on the tanker takeover down in the Gulf. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.